Hi, and welcome to audio lesson number 10. What I'd like to do is speak a little bit more about the hypnosis pre-session. First of all, it might be helpful if you would consider the pre-session similar to a sales presentation. If you've been in sales before, you'd realize that the sum of the yeses gets the sale. In other words, if I was trying to sell you an investment, I would always be trying to get a yes answer from you. Family security is important to you, isn't it? You do love your family, don't you? You'd like to make sure that they were taken care of in their future, wouldn't you? As long as you keep on answering yes, I have the credibility. And each yes that you say is getting you closer to the closing sale. Now, what if I were to say something like, family security is important to you, isn't it? And you said no. That kind of stopped me right in my tracks with the sale, and I would have to start all over. The hypnosis pre-session is very similar. From the moment you hear that knocking at the door, consider yourself on stage. Your presentation has become. I'd like you to know that the majority of clients that come to see you, probably in the high 90%, are afraid of you. There are so many misconceptions about hypnosis that they might be afraid that they're going to tell you some deep, dark secrets, that they're going to tell you where the money is hidden in their backyard, that you're going to take advantage of them, that you're going to get them barking like a puppy. There's so many things that they're afraid of. So right from the beginning, you need to take control and make them feel comfortable. So from the moment they come in your office, you are helping them to build expectancy, to build trust. Everything you say and everything you do should exude confidence and security in them. The last thing that they'd want to see, which is probably what they're expecting, is that as soon as you open the door, you look at them and say, go sit in that chair, close your eyes, we're going to start the session. They're deathly afraid of that. So the sales presentation begins. What you're trying to do is give them as much information as possible by correcting misconceptions and showing them that you're not a monster, so that when they begin the session, they're not afraid, and they have no more questions. That's the whole purpose of the pre-session. Now, I'm going through all 10 steps, and I'm going to explain them to you. And for me, it takes approximately a half an hour to go through this beginning part of the session before I actually do the hypnosis session. Now, this is just a track to run on. From what you see, use what is helpful to you. And what I've found is most new students, when they first begin, the whole half-hour pre-session, they get done in about 4 minutes because they're so nervous. What's going to happen as a result of that is you're going to find that when you go to hypnotize your client, they're going to have a lot of questions because you didn't cover them in the pre-session. So the next session, you're going to find that you'll speak a little bit more in the pre-session and you'll have less questions. Until you get to the point where you've spoken and you've done enough of the pre-session that they have no more questions. That's kind of the balance you're looking for. Now, you may be a counselor or a doctor already and already have your own pre-session. So pick and choose the things out of what I have that can help you. This isn't cut and dry. You don't have to do this. This is what I found works for me. So let's go ahead and begin. The first part, of course, is the pre-session phone call. The client's going to be calling you, whether it be for smoking, weight loss, stress, and they're going to expect some basic information over the telephone. Now be careful here. If you're too friendly over the phone call, you'll find that your client will probably keep you there forever trying to learn all there is to learn so they don't even have to come see you. Okay, so you do need to be businesslike, get to the point, but you want to dispel some of their main misconceptions. Don't hide things. They're already expecting a sales pitch. They're expecting you to be a pushy salesperson. So just be yourself. Be friendly, be professional, be to the point, and you'll find you'll do quite well. Once you find out what they want to come see you for, let's use smoking as an example, I usually like to ask them if they've ever tried hypnosis before. Ask them a little bit about their situation. How long have you been smoking? How much do you smoke a day? Have you tried to quit before? Even without hypnosis, what have you tried? Have you tried the patch, Zyban? Find out as much about them as you can. This will give you clues. Of course, if they say they've tried hypnosis, they've tried everything under the sun and haven't been able to quit, then there's a good idea that you're going to have to do more than one session. You might have to do 5 or 6 sessions. Again, they're going to give you an idea. So tell them a little bit about hypnosis, a little bit about your process, a little bit about you. Explain what they can expect as a result of your session. If it was weight loss, maybe they'll lose 1% of their body weight per week as a minimum average. If it's smoking and you're using a withdrawal program, and of course they smoke, let's say, 1 pack a day, that is going to be a minimum of 4 weeks. Whatever it is you need to tell them, they should have an idea of how many weeks they're going to have to come see you, how much it's going to cost, when the money is expected, and what kind of results they should have. This is the basis of the phone call. So when they come see you, there should be no surprises, no kind of bait and switch, no hidden fees that you hadn't told them earlier on the phone. Okay, number 2 is the meet and greet. This is when you hear that knocking at the door and they open the door. Remember, they're scared. You're their last resort. Most people have tried everything else before they come to see you. So when they come to the door, meet them with a smile. Be cordial. I like to use humor because that's my personality. So I have them come in, I shake their hand, and I point at the recliner and I say, "You get the good seat, I have the cheap seat. Come on in." They usually get a little chuckle and we sit down. Now, number 3 is to get common ground. Now, what I mean by common ground is something that you can associate with them with. If I were a salesman coming to your house, as soon as I walked in your living room, I would look around to see what kind of hobbies you have, knickknacks, pictures. I would try to find things about you that I could speak to you about. Because after all, what is everyone's favorite subject? Themselves. They are not coming here to hear about you, to hear about your diplomas and certificates and all your achievements. They're here for you to talk about them. So even though you might like to brag about yourself normally, keep it to a minimum and speak to them about them, and they'll like you a lot better. So since you're not going to their house and they're coming to you, of course you can't look around their living room to see what they have. If you're a woman hypnotist, you may want to pick up on your client's makeup or their jewelry or their pocketbook. Those are things that women can talk to other women about comfortably. However, if you're a man hypnotherapist, you might find it difficult to do that. If you come up to a really shy woman and say, "Gee, I love your eyeshadow," they're going to back off and be pretty afraid of you, okay? So what I use for common ground is the intake sheet. You'll notice there is an intake sheet in your manual on page 187. So if you want to turn to page 187, you can take a look at that now. Now, the intake sheet is what I call a basic T. You can see where we have the heading, and then underneath, it's cut in half where the letter T is. Everything from the top of the T, from where it says name, address, all the way down to where you see that 1 to 10 gauge, is what I fill out at this time. Because by sitting down with a client and filling out this basic information, you're not getting into the nitty-gritty of the session yet, that's what I use for common ground. Asking you your name, address, phone number, employment, where you work. You might have an interesting thing that you do for work, so I can ask you about that. Where do you work? What do you do? Have you ever been hypnotized before? If you say yes, by who? How did that work? Get the details. All these things are things that people can speak to you about because, again, you're speaking to them about their favorite subject, which is themselves. So by the time you've done the top of the intake sheet, you know a little bit about them, and you're pretty comfortable with them. Just so I don't get ahead of myself too much, what I do with the intake sheet, of course, I had the client come in. We already did the meet and greet. For the common ground, I usually have my intake sheet on a clipboard. Just as the client sits down, I pick up the clipboard and I look them straight in the eyes and I say, "Before we get started, I'm going to ask you about a million questions. Is that okay?" What that's done is it's diffused the entire situation. You can just kind of see the nervousness leave them once you say that, because rather than being pushed into a session right away, they realize that they're going to get to talk and answer all these questions before you do a session. So you can almost hear the sigh of relief as they smile and say, "Okay," and that's when I start doing the intake sheet and asking them questions. So I go through the intake sheet, find out as much as I can from the top, Now, as you're looking at the end date sheet, you're going to see on the right, just above the T, there's numbers 1 through 10. What that is for is I like to ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I could care less, 10 being this is my last resort, where would you put your commitment level to do whatever it is that you came here for? Where's your commitment level to quit smoking, to lose weight, to win the marathon, whatever it is you came here for? I like to see 7 or above. Of course, I'd like to see a 10, but as you know, one person's 10 might be somebody else's 5. So find out if they're committed. For instance, if they wanted to quit smoking and you say, where's your commitment level, and they say a 2, chances are this session is probably not going to work for them at all because there has to be a commitment on their end as well. Now, in addition to the intake sheet, depending on what state you're in, it may be a good idea to have them sign a hypnosis disclosure form or a waiver of some sort, letting them know that you are not a medical practitioner, you know, a doctor, a mental health practitioner, if you're not. This will keep you safe and it'll help them to know also. A lot of times when people look in the phone book and they see the title hypnotherapist, that's kind of a misnomer. They think you are a therapist. Unless you are a certified therapist or mental health professional, you are not a therapist. You're just a hypnotist or a hypnosis practitioner. So don't let them think that you're a therapist of any sorts. If you don't have any kind of hypnosis disclosure form or waiver right now, in your lesson, we also have a link to one, a basic generic one that you can change or alter to suit your needs that you can use. The next section, what is hypnosis? When I get to this point, usually once I finish the intake sheet and a waiver form, whatever you're going to use, I look at the client and I say this to them. Okay, here's how the session's going to work. What I'm going to do is explain to you what hypnosis is, how it works, and since everybody's mind works a little different, I'm going to do a few simple exercises to find out how your mind works so we can tailor this session to your mind, and then we're going to do the session. How's that sound? Usually you get a nod from them, and that's exactly what I do. So the next step is explaining what is hypnosis, which is number 4. The way I explain it to them is first I tell them the definition of hypnosis is being open to suggestion. I use the example, if I were to cut a lemon in half and squeeze it really slowly in front of you, and you saw the juice just dripping, going down my hand, landing on the table, and your mouth started to pucker, you are in hypnosis because the suggestion of it being sour got across to you. Or if you were looking at me and I was acting like I was cold and shivering, even though it's warm, and you started to feel cold, that's hypnosis. In addition to that, I would probably explain 5 or 6 of the top misconceptions of hypnosis as a way of helping them to understand what it is. In fact, in your manual, in the chapter on putting it all together, you have quite a few, I believe there's like 10 or 12 misconceptions there, so there's some that you can use for everyone. Just read through the misconceptions first so you can use the ones that you feel are more appropriate to your practice and the area you're practicing in. Next, how does hypnosis work? Well, what I do at that point is I would either explain to them the submarine scenario that you saw in the video in this lesson, or I would explain to them the scenario about the British Guard, which is on page 56 as well as page 194 of your manual. To put it in a nutshell, the way the British Guard works is, imagine your conscious mind as a British Guard standing in the doorway protecting a room which is your subconscious mind, which is where all changes are made. Your subconscious mind is like a 4-year-old child. It wants to help you. It's innocent. It's naive. It can help you. It has all the power to help you, but it doesn't know how. In order for it to help you, a suggestion has to get past the conscious mind into the subconscious. Once the subconscious gets the suggestion, that's where the power of hypnosis comes from. The only problem is the conscious mind is a creature of habit. It's rebellious. It's negative. It wants everything to remain the same, status quo. So while you are conscious, while you are alert, it is always fighting. Some people say it's their worst enemy. So my job as a hypnotherapist is to get past the conscious mind and into the subconscious and leaving it suggestions, leaving it instructions. There's two ways I can do that. One is simply by relaxing the guard, and he sits down, relaxes, and when I give the suggestion, the fight is gone, the resistance is gone, and he allows the suggestion to go through. For those people that cannot relax or don't like to relax, in that case, I would take the guard and I would keep him busy, giving him a job to do. Now, the analytical mind of the people that don't like to relax are so intent on doing the job, it's kind of like doing your taxes and having a conversation at the same time. You have to let go of one in order to do the other. So if I have the guard on the side of the doorway doing simple mathematics on a blackboard, even though I'm going back and forth with the suggestions, he's intent on finishing his job. So the suggestions get through to the subconscious mind. So what I need to do now is to test you to find out how your mind works, whether you relax really easy or whether you don't relax. Then we tailor the session to you. So at this point, I would be up to number 6, which is suggestibility test. So as soon as I finished explaining to the client, so what I need to do is find out whether I relax you or keep your mind busy, I would jump right into the suggestibility test. What I'd like you to do is take your hands, put them together like you're praying. Take your two index fingers, put them straight up in the air like a goalpost. Look between your fingers and use your imagination. Then I start in with a rubber band test. So do any two suggestibility tests, at least two. You can do 3 if you like. My favorite are the finger test and the arm rising and falling test. Occasionally I'll throw in the pendulum. If they're very, very non-analytical, I'll follow it up by the postural sway. Because someone that experiences the postural sway, that adds to your credibility. That builds expectancy quite a bit and really aids in the success of the session. Once you've done the suggestibility test, what I do is on the back of the intake sheet, I simply make a little scale at the top. Remember that line you saw earlier in the manual? Just a line with 2 dots on each end. On the left is an A for analytical. On the right is an NA for non-analytical. And just chart on that little graph where they are. If they're on the non-analytical side, put it there. If they're on the analytical side, put it there. This way, you're going to have this for future reference to know how they were next week without having to test them every single week. Now, let them know what you found out and why you put them in that area, and tell them what that means to them, what it means to be analytical or non-analytical. And you'll find the explanations, very simple, fun ones, on page 197 of your manual. Now you're up to number 7, which is preparation for the session. All you need to do to prepare for the session is just to make sure that they're ready to sit in the chair without any interruptions. So you want to tell them not to cross their arms or legs, because that sends a negative impulse to the brain. If they're too cold or if they're too hot because of your office or whatever it might be, do something to rectify that. If they're too cold, give them a blanket. If they're too hot, you might want to have your air conditioner on. Make sure if they have a cell phone or if you have a phone that they're turned off. If you're using a recliner, I always put the recliner back because I don't want them to start rocking. So make them comfortable in a chair that will at least support their neck and back. If you have any last minute instructions, give it to them now. If you're going to be walking during the session and you want to tell them about it, if you're going to be touching them for any reason, such as you might be using NLP or another type of conditioning exercise, you would let them know that at this time so you don't scare them during the session, because they won't be expecting it. However, if you tell them in advance that you're going to be doing it, they'll be expecting it and it won't be such a shock. And by the way, at any time if you have to touch a client during the session, always let them know that you're going to touch them before you do. For instance, if I'm going to be doing the magnetic hand depth test, I would say I'm coming over to your right side. In just a moment, I'm going to touch the top of your right hand. Then I would do the test. They won't be shocked because they know it's coming. Now, before the client even comes in the office, whatever the session was going to be, let's use confidence for an example, I would have 2 stacks of scripts prepared. 1 stack for everything I need to do an analytical session, and 1 stack for everything I need to do a non-analytical session. This way, at the last minute, you don't have to scramble to get all your scripts together. I've tested them. If I know the client is non-analytical, I just pick up the non-analytical stack and start doing the session. if after you do your depth test, you decide that maybe you weren't as accurate during your suggestibility test and the client is closer to the analytical side, by having both those stacks of scripts, you can simply put down the non-analytical one and pick up the stack on the analytical and not even have to slow down the session whatsoever. And you just steer them to an analytical session, which you know by now that analytical session works on everyone. So, you've got them all prepared, you've got them comfortable, make sure that they're not chewing gum. If everything seems okay, go ahead and begin the session. It's important to also look at the time and make a little note of the time when you started the session. And when you're finished the session, also make a note of the time so you can see how long the actual session took. If it took 45 minutes, for instance, write that down. When the client comes out of hypnosis and you're ready to do your post-session form and post-session questions, the first one I ask them is from when you close your eyes to when you open them right now, how long did it seem like to you? 5 minutes or less? If they say 5 minutes or 4 minutes, then you would simply look at your paper and tell them that the session actually took 45 minutes. So where'd you go for that other 40 minutes? They'll look a little puzzled and explain to them, that's hypnosis. It's actually a missing time that you go into when you get to a certain depth. Doesn't always happen, but with some people it does. So you've completed your session, you're doing your post-session form. Your post-session report form is actually on page 200, and at that time you would go through that form. And as you can see on the post-session form, if you want to go ahead and take it from your manual on page 200, you would just fill out what you've experienced from observing them in the hypnosis session, and you would ask them a few questions to go ahead and fill this out so you have the information. And of course, we went over this in an earlier lesson. So once you completed the post-session report form, then you would go to number 10, which is my favorite part. You get to collect the monies for your fee. And at that point, the entire session is complete. All you would do at this point is, if you're going to have another session with them, go ahead and reschedule for your next session. If there are any questions that need to be answered, fine. But I find once the session is over, business has been concluded, it's a great time to walk them towards the door, tell them to have a great day, and move on to your next session. Everything I just discussed in this session you'll find in Chapter 13, beginning on page 184 of your manual. You'll find it in a lot more detail in your manual, so please take the time to study everything in Chapter 13. You'll find it will really help your session. And of course, the better pre-session you have, the better session you're going to have, and the higher your success ratio. Good luck. This is the end of Lesson 10.